Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, this is going to be really cool. I know I say these shows are all great. They are in my mind. I hope you agree. But this is really neat. We're going international here. We're going to take it a different direction. So hold on. Here we go. We have a really interesting guest lined up for you. Doug Goldstein, certified financial planner. He's a financial planner. He's a radio host. You got to love that. Website for today's program, goldsteinongelt.com. Doug has written a book that you're going to love this. He co-authored it with the Grandmaster Susan Polgard. Is that right?
Susan Polgar.
Polgar. All right. And there's Doug. The book is Rich as a King, How the Wisdom of Chess Can Make You a Grandmaster of Investing. I love it. I think it's a fascinating subject. Doug, welcome to the program.
Hey, David. It's great to be here. Thank you very much.
Well, you're very welcome. And I feel a little bit like an amateur, Doug. We've done 778 and counting radio shows, but I know you've done a lot of shows yourself. So I'm feeling a little bit like an amateur with you on the line.
No, it's like we're partners, David.
Okay.
We've been through it together.
All right. Well, thank you. Now, listen, I want to introduce you properly, Doug, because I love your story. Doug began his career on Wall Street back in 1992 with Dean Witter. He developed a successful financial planning practice in New York. And then, ready for this, he moved his wife and family to Israel. He's licensed both in the United States as well as in Israel as an advisor. He's got the certified financial planner designation, as we talked about earlier. He's also a registered investment advisor, trust and estate practitioner, member of all sorts of organizations. He's got quite a pedigree. And the mark of distinction, which is really a curiosity to me, Doug. You know, it used to be that people from up north would retire down here to Florida so I could work with them as their advisor, but I understand they're just skipping Florida and moving right over to Israel with you.
That is correct. We have a very specialized market. We call ourselves cross-border financial planners, but the main border that we're looking at is really the Atlantic Ocean. It's mostly American retirees, Jewish retirees who have moved to Israel as the place where they want to spend their golden years.
That's so cool. So okay, I got to ask, and then we'll get to the, you know, your grandmaster flash of investing here. Hold on. So tell me, what prompted you first to make the move to Israel?
That's a great question. I appreciate that. My wife and I actually met in Israel. I was working on a program here for college and graduate students, and she was one of our students. And we had such a great time in that program. We said we should live here because the family values really reflected the type of values that we wanted to have in our family. And when our first child was born in New York, although at Mount Sinai Hospital, so there was clearly a connection to the Middle
East,
we said, off we go, and the next three kids were all born in Israel.
Wow. That's so cool. Okay, and so now the next logical question, then we'll get to some of the nuts and bolts on the investment strategy that you can deploy based on the game of chess and what we can learn there. So why are, and again, I think you shared with me before we started that a lot of your clientele are American Jewish people that are coming over and retiring to Israel. This is probably a naive question, but I'll ask it anyway. Why are they doing that? I mean, there's obviously the tie-in to the heritage, but is there anything else that's prompting that move? Is it similar to your path, the family values, or is it a savings, a lower cost of living? What prompts that transition?
Well, I think that moving to Israel is different from, let's say, people who retire to the Far East or to South America who are looking to make their Social Security dollars stretch
right.
further, which
right.
you could do in places like that.
Sure.
Israel is a very, very first world country, and with all of the technology and all of the facilities and the healthcare, which is, Israel is a destination where people come for top-tier healthcare, you certainly have to pay for it. The people come here not, I don't think, for financial reasons.
Okay.
But one, it's certainly the heritage. You know, this is
right.
the home of the Jewish people for thousands
sure.
of years.
Sure.
They want to return home. They like the feeling of the family values. And the lifestyle, frankly, it feels like you could be living in Florida.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's just very interesting to me. I find that fascinating. So let's let's get back to your strategies. You know, I understand that you co-authored with the Grandmaster Susan, and pronounce the last name again.
Polgar.
Polgar, okay. And with Susan's collaboration, you looked at the game of chess and applied it to the game, as some would argue it is, the game of investing. And I find that very remarkable. So what would be the first thing that would surprise people about the cross-border application, no pun intended, of chess to investing or investing to chess?
Well, David, I like that. I actually never thought of that one, the cross-border idea. When we used to tell people about the idea, we were working on a book called Rich as a King, How the Wisdom of Chess Could Be Applied to Investing. Everyone said, oh, what a great title. And then what, frankly, really got to me is they would say, you know, it's such a good idea because chess players have to plan ahead and investors have to plan ahead. And, you know, what a fantastic idea you guys are working on. And then I always thought to myself, because I would try to be polite, but I'll tell you, just don't tell anyone else.
Okay,
it bugged me when people would say that. I'd say, you know, if all we could come up with, make a parallel between chess and investing is that you should plan ahead, we could have saved ourselves 5 years of research and writing and just printed a bumper sticker that said, plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's so true. I love it. Well, there's so many ways to go with that. Yeah, I think that a lot of times, you know, and I've played chess. I am not a what I would call a chess player, but I've played. In fact, my son, who's 13, he beats me now. But the thing that's interesting about the analogy, and there's a lot we can talk about with this, Doug, is that you don't, you know, the best chess players, of course, are not waiting. All of a sudden, somebody moves the queen out to the middle of the board, and you go, okay, now what do I do? The best chess players, of course, are already anticipating these moves, and they have second, third, fourth, fifth plans in place. And it's no different than looking at what the stock market is doing on a day-to-day basis. And when somebody may pull off a quote-unquote surprise move on you, you have to be prepared.
Yeah, I think that's very true. And I think that's a great parallel, which is at high levels of chess, you can't just say, well, I know what my opponent's about to do, because just like in the stock market, you don't know. But it doesn't mean you shouldn't be planning. And like you, I always tell people I'm an avid chess player. And so no one really knows what that means. They think, oh, well, you must know a lot because you're friends with Susan Polgar. It simply means that I like playing and I play a lot and I lose to my kids all the time. Two of them are chess champions. So I know the feeling.
Okay.
But I'll tell you an interesting story. When Susan and I were working on the book, we used to meet because she travels all over the world and I get to travel a little bit as well. And so we used to meet in different offices, and we had a special office in most cities called Starbucks. Have you seen it?
Oh, yes. Very, very great. Excellent conference center.
So we would meet there, and occasionally we'd pull out a chessboard, and occasionally we would play a game of chess as we would talk about the strategy. And one game, I had her cornered. I had set up my pieces, and I was about to say checkmate. And this was amazing, you know, me against a world chess champion.
Right.
And so I was about to make my move, and then it was her turn. And so she swoops in with her bishop from across the board and captures my queen, and needless to say, within one or two moves, she announced checkmate, to my great dismay. And I said to her, I said, Susan, you know, I really thought I had you.
Right.
And she laughed and she said, did you think I didn't see what you were planning on doing?
Right.
And then I said, but how is it that I couldn't figure this out? And she said, I'll tell you what I tell all of my students, because now she's the number one chess coach in the country. She said, I always tell them this, look at the whole board. And it sounds so simple, but you have no idea how complex, you know, on a chessboard, which is maybe 1 foot by 1 foot, it's difficult. Now imagine doing that in the world of investment.
Right. Well, you know what's interesting, Doug? You made me think of another analogy. We're just going to do a show on analogies. The thing that you made me think of as you were describing that she set you up, obviously, and she knew and she put it out there. You know, you took the bait, and as my son does to me, I take the bait all the time. He gets me. But the thing that is a great analogy for that is it reminds me of how some people view, and somewhat of a conspiratorial way sometimes, but I think there's some argument or some validity for this consideration, and that is that sometimes people view Wall Street as giving us bait that we bite on, and then they swoop in and they take our bishop or they take our queen with their bishop, and that's the way it feels sometimes when people have their investments or their retirement, the rug literally pulled out from underneath them, and they feel like the game is stacked against them.
Well, have you seen clients who sometimes they maybe get a newsletter or they get an email, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden they think they're very, very smart.
Yes.
And then they start to trade. And then, of course, they lose money because it's not just that they're playing against the big boys. It's just that they're not looking at the whole board. They don't see the whole picture of what's going on. So I'm not a conspiracy theorist, although I certainly hear it from people and I get it.
Sure.
But I think that the opportunities on Wall Street are great. You just have to make sure that you're approaching it the right way.
Exactly. I agree, Doug. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to grab a quick break. Doug Goldstein on the line with us, certified financial planner. The book, Rich as a King, he wrote with Susan Polgar, and How the Wisdom of Chess Can Make You a Grandmaster of Investing. Quick break. We'll be right back.
What if in the time it takes you to eat lunch, you could potentially strengthen your financial future? Would you invest 1 hour to plan stronger? Well, if you spend just 1 hour with certified financial planner David Holland, you'll get simple, straightforward advice to help you plan stronger. It's as simple as that. And if you already have a financial plan, isn't it worth an hour to get a second opinion? And there's no cost or obligation to meet with David. All you need to do is simply call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. Or visit planstronger.com for more information.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Doug Goldstein on the line with me, certified financial planner. The website, goldsteinongelt.com. And I learned before we started the program today that gelt is the Israeli word for money.
That's right.
And that is very cool. So I'll have to use that with my Jewish clients. I think they'll get a kick out of that, Doug. All right, so let's get to some nuts and bolts, and apply this Rich as a King book, How the Wisdom of Chess Can Make You a Grandmaster of Investing. And let's start with some fundamental questions our listeners would probably want me to ask you, Doug, and that is, should I be doing anything in particular with my investment accounts given the risks of the stock market?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked in that way. I'll tell you why, because I'm going to go back to that game that I was mentioning before when Susan and I played and when I lost and she said, look at the whole board. And because I just missed what was going on. And I asked her, I said, well, Susan, when you look at a chess set, you know, she can play. She broke the Guinness Book of World Record a few years ago by playing almost 400 games simultaneously. So I said, when you played one game, you know, when you went from one board to the next and instantly you evaluated what was going on, how did you do that? How did you see what was going on? How did you look at the whole board? And she started to describe to me a whole series of things that she did, which are kind of chess terms, and I'm not going to go into them now.
Yes, thank you.
But I said, let's deconstruct that. And what we realized in our conversation was what the number one thing that she did when she first approached the situation, and it turns out it's the number one thing that I do when I first look at, let's say, a new client's statement when he comes in, I look for the risk.
Yeah.
It starts with the letter R.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to talk for a second about ROI, which a lot of people think means return on investment, but Susan and I have a little bit of a different take on it. The first thing you have to do is look at the risk. The second thing you have to do is look at the opportunities, meaning once you've taken care of the risk, if you're king in check or if you have an over allocation in one stock, that's the risk, right? So you have to deal with it.
Right.
The second thing is if you have an opportunity on the chessboard to capture an opponent's piece, or let's say you have a large amount of money in cash, is that presenting an opportunity? And once you've dealt with the risk and the opportunity, the R and the O, then it's time to deal with the I, the investment, just taking small but steady steps to get you to where you want to go.
Makes a lot of sense to me, Doug. You know, the thing that strikes me about, you know, also the question is, you know, given the risk of the market, the market, the thing that people sometimes, you know, you talk, and again, this is the same thing that applies to chess, is there's always risk. You know, there's just as your queen was taken by Susan's bishop, there's always risk. You just may not perceive it or see it. And to extend the analogy, the challenge for a lot of investors, and you spoke about they get a newsletter and now they've got it all figured out, is they just don't know what they don't know. You don't see it. And in fact, we don't even realize we're playing with only being able to see half the board.
That's what happens, I think, in the investing world.
Yeah.
But listen, with transparency today, I think there's a lot that people can know. And, you know, David, I was even looking at some of the articles that you've written that really teach people, I think, step by step how to make their plans. And I think the step-by-step concept is, you know, people don't have patience today to do things step-by-step, and that's the problem. If they would just try to improve pieces incrementally instead of always swinging for the bleachers, I think they'd be much better off.
Well, and you know what? You're spot on, Doug, and I'll tell you what my approach is, and this may seem a little self-serving, but I just feel like there's certainly enough need for it that they keep people keep us busy in this regard, and that is that you're right. Everybody wants to push the easy button. We have many other facets to our lives that we want to enjoy, especially if we're getting closer to retirement. We're planning, you know, our relocation to Israel. So, you know, we've got other things on our plate, and we just want to push the easy button. So that's when that's when you and I step in to say, okay, the easy button is you dial the number to make an appointment, and then tell me what's going on, where you are, what you got, and then where you want to go, and we will help you get where you need to go. Let us do the heavy lifting.
I think that's great. There's a great quote by one of the former world chess champions from the 18th, who was born in the 1800s, a fellow named Emanuel Lasker. And he always said, when you see a good move, wait and look for a better one.
Hmm.
And I think that's exactly it. And, you know, I'll tell you, when I was discussing with Susan, I asked her, when she was training, when she was young, what's the difference between how she did it and how people train today? And you'll see a very strong parallel in the world of finance. When she was young, she was homeschooled by her father. In fact, she grew up in communist Hungary. And you can imagine what it was like when you tell the communist government, I don't want to send my children to your school.
Right.
I'm going to train them my own way. I mean, what? Can you imagine the strength and fortitude of her parents to do that? And he brought in chess coaches and trained the three daughters. By the way, the three daughters were ultimately known as the Polgar sisters, and they broke through the male-only glass ceiling of chess in order to really change the game and to make it radically different. But Susan said that today, when people train, they basically, it's almost like a video game. So it's playing and it moves very fast and they move and they move and they move. And it's not the same depth of thought as we've seen in the past.
Well, speaking of depth of thought, you know, people thinking about their portfolios today, Doug, in your mind, are there certain elements or part, and I imagine you tend to take a pretty diversified approach, but are there certain parts of a portfolio that somebody should be thinking about selling? I mean, is there a tactical opportunity here, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, it's a great question, and as you know, a lot of the behavioral finance professors study this question. How do people decide which assets to sell? And there are a number of kind of famous experiments, but this topic of behavioral finance actually was a Nobel Prize-winning topic. A fellow named Daniel Kahneman won the Nobel Prize in economics, even though he was not an economist. He was a psychologist. He studied the psychology of how people think about things. And the studies that he brought up led to a fascinating concept, which is when people will, let's say, have to make a choice about selling two different stocks, one that's gone up
right.
and one that's gone down.
Right.
The one that they'll normally sell, and when you study thousands and thousands of transactions,
uh-huh.
is you'll see that they'll sell the one that's gone up.
Right.
They sell the profitable position instead of the losing position. So, why is it? Why do people do that? And is it the right move? And it turns out the answer is no, it's not the right move in most cases. I'm obviously not giving a specific piece of investment advice here, but it tends not to be the right move because there's probably a reason why that stock is a winner or that fund or that manager is doing well for you. And you should hold your winners as a general rule because otherwise you're constantly selling off your good positions and holding on to losing positions. And frankly, that doesn't sound like a great model either on the chessboard or in an investment portfolio.
Hey man, if we were on Skype, you'd see me desperately flailing my hands right now to answer the rhetorical question, Doug. And I want to give you my answer to that. And why do people do that? It's because they're not selling the one with the most profit. They're selling the one that they were right about.
Right. They feel good.
And it's
they
all
can
about
tell their friends at the cocktail party. Yeah. Hey,
I made $4 billion on my last sale. How'd you do? That's the nature of it. Well,
you know what really bugs me is when I don't know if you get this also, the clients come in and go, well, you know, my doctor said he made a lot of money on XYZ stock. And the funny thing is, because I would never tell, is the doctor's also my client.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that he's a terrible stock picker, but he just brags about the one that he did well on and makes everyone feel like he's a real genius.
Yeah. Well, there you are, ladies and gentlemen. Human nature, as well put by Doug Goldstein, our certified financial planner from Israel, financial planner and radio host, the website GoldsteinOnGelt.com, the book, Rich as a King, How the Wisdom of Chess Can Make You a Grandmaster of Investing. Quick break. Come right back with Doug.
Where can you find more spin than in politics? If you said financial services, you'd be correct. Just ask a stockbroker or insurance agent how you should invest your money, and what do you think they would say? Unfortunately, if an advisor is limited in what he can offer, that advisor is often understandably biased. You need to ask questions like what products and services they can and cannot offer. Ask about their licensing and credentials. Remain skeptical. This PSA has been brought to you by Holland Financial, who wants to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And welcome back. You're getting a double dose, ladies and gentlemen, of a couple of certified financial planners. I hope you're enjoying it. I know I am. I love having Doug on the program. We're going to add you, Doug, to our rotation, if you'll be so kind to come back for another show, because I know you and I won't be able to get to everything we've got on our list to talk about. GoldsteinOnGelt.com is Doug's website. So here's another good one for you, Doug. In light of everything we talked about, what do you recommend right now for people to increase the folks that are, you know, in the last few stages of getting ready to retire or already retired? What do you recommend they do to get more retirement income?
Great question, David. In fact, that's the question I usually ask my guests when they come on to the Goldstein on Gelt show. So I fully understand your motivation to asking it. And I'm going to tell you the approach that I try to do with my clients. In so many cases, I'll point to the chessboard that I keep in the conference room, and I'll say, you know what a player does in the beginning of the game? There's really three steps that you have to do when you start a game of chess. Mm. And the main one is get control of the center of the board.
Mm.
And what does that mean? It means, let me tell you what the mistake is that people do. Amateur players, they'll move a pawn on the side, or they'll try to get their queen out in the middle very quickly, or they'll think they can do checkmate before they know it. And that's the mistake. They need to right away get their central pawns right in the middle of the game doing something. And what do retirees so often do? They're so petrified to act that they keep all their pieces in the back row, right? In other words, they keep all their money in the bank. And either they're in CDs that are earning zero, or in money markets that's earning zero, or they're in,
right.
Just doing nothing. So obviously every person has a different tolerance for risk, but slowly I think when people work with an advisor who can guide them into moving the money out of zero return investments and into a bond portfolio or a laddered bond portfolio, or depending on their overall asset allocation, their tolerance for risk, they could begin to put a piece of the pie into dividend-paying stocks or REITs. These are all the tools that are available.
Sure.
The one thing that I think people have to be very wary of is the advertisements that say, are you making 0%? You should be making 9%. And they'll always quote some retrospective study on,
of course.
I can find lots of things that made 9% last year.
Sure.
But I don't know if they'll make 9% next year. And I fear for the senior citizens who get sucked in by this, because like my mother told me, you know, when I started, you mentioned in 1982 at Dean Witter, I was partners with my mother, who was a vice president there.
Oh, okay.
She'd been there for 17 years. And in fact, my mother's mother, my grandmother, was one of the first women to be licensed as a stockbroker in America.
How cool.
So my mother told me, it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And so that's what I like to tell people as well. Don't look for a magic bullet.
No, but I love, again, you've done an excellent job, Doug, of harnessing this analogy of the chessboard, and you are exactly right about how some people play and how investors deploy those troops, and they are, on one hand, and you've done an excellent job of talking about some of the extremes. Some people are so petrified that they move very little to the middle and to go into the game, if you will, and get engaged and get involved. And on the other hand, there are some people that are maybe either out of ignorance, overconfidence, or some other reason or explanation. The goal of the pawns is to get them out of the way as quickly as possible to make a big move and bring out the heavy guns big and go all in maybe to achieve some sort of quick, the easy button we talked about earlier, to get a quick response or a quick resolution to the game, which with investing, you are taking an enormous risk when you do that.
Absolutely. I think don't try to assume you're smarter than the average bear. Just try to set up a reasonable portfolio. And just like in chess, you know, in the beginning of the game, one of the other most important moves you have to do is you have to castle, which is mm-hmm. when you take your king and it swaps places with your rook, and it kind of cuddles the king in the corner and protects it. So for sure you have to protect your core assets. I'm not talking about people having to always go out and fight, but there are stages to every step of the development, which coincidentally follow the patterns of a good chess player.
I love that. Can you castle on either side, or is it just on one side?
You can do it on either side.
Okay.
It's a statement, though, if you do it on one side or the other.
Right, exactly. Yes. Well, listen, you've got to keep your options open. I like it. We've got a minute left, Doug, and I know that we are Skyping and voicing over the pond to talk with you, so I want to make the most of what we have left. Final thoughts about ways that people really should be looking at their investments. Just a minute left. Beth has given me the eye that we can't go long here, so what do you say?
Listen, I think the thing that I would encourage people to do is just to start by educating themselves. I know that, David, you have a huge amount of material. You've got videos and audio and articles and books. I too, have written a great deal for my target audience, which tends to be more cross-border people, although Rich as a King is really meant for everyone. But I think that by going to a website like yours and just learning, people will stop themselves from making bad mistakes. And the number one reason people fail in finance is not because of the market. It's because of themselves. So learn a lot. Learn from people like you. And if people take nothing away other than that message and checking out Rich as a King at richasaking.com, I'll be very, very happy.
Outstanding, Doug. Thank you, sir. Doug Goldstein, ladies and gentlemen, certified financial planner, Goldstein on Gelt.com. And the book, Rich as a King, How the Wisdom of Chess Can Make You a Grandmaster of Investing. Doug, we'll do it again, sir. Thank you very, very much.
Looking forward. Hope to see you in Israel soon.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.